Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting System. I am here today in actually sunny New Jersey with my friend and co-potter, JJ Sefton. JJ, how is it in sunny Wisconsin?
Well, you just hit the nail on the head. You read my mind, as the joke goes. What did one psychic say to the other? You're fine. How am I? Anyway, it is sunny here and very pleasant as we head into the towards the fall weather. We have a little bit of summer is still with us. Two more days until officially if we have the autumnal equinox. But it's lovely here,
Well,
and there
global
we have
warming might stop that.
it. Very true. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to be in a perpetual summer soon. Just as long as the next 25,000 winters get done.
Exactly.
Yeah. Boy. Anyway,
Well,
folks, so we did a what I thought was a very interesting podcast last Wednesday with Jim Lakely and of the God.
heartlandinstitute.org,
Yeah.
ORG.
And thank you. I'm
Yeah.
having a senior moment. And just a couple of hours after that, we all heard that Charlie Kirk had been murdered. I hesitate. I hate the word executed because that sounds like a legal proceeding, the legal consequences of a crime. And he absolutely was murdered. Assassinated, perhaps, is also appropriate. And I was fascinated by the now this is almost what is it 8 days later, 9 days later. I was fascinated by how the media reported the fact of Charlie Kirk's murder, and they almost always prefaced it with conservative firebrand and similar inflammatory terms instead of saying Charlie Kirk was murdered. Now everybody knows who Charlie Kirk is, or most people know who Charlie Kirk is. But that began this onslaught of absolute bullshit because they mischaracterized Charlie Kirk, but also I think malign manipulation of the storyline to make Charlie Kirk in some way culpable for his own murder. And that has not abated. In fact, the left has doubled down on that. And I find it chilling that they so willingly open themselves up to and are comfortable with the charge that they are complicit, because it is absolutely the fault of the left that has fired up their lunatic, ignorant shock troops on the street to do their bidding. And sadly, last Wednesday, their bidding was the murder of a very, very fine man. And I would call him brilliant in the way that he could combat the left's misinformation, disinformation, lying, manipulation, propaganda, whatever you'd like to call it. Anyway, we are going to talk about Charlie Kirk a little bit, and I'm very curious what Sefton has to say.
Yes, Charlie Kirk was indeed assassinated, and some on our side, and me included. I say he is a martyr. He is a martyr for the cause of freedom. He was an articulate and passionate evangelist, not necessarily in the religious sense, of free speech and the real American way. And not just for conservatives, but especially for conservatives, because we are the most put upon people in this country, but for everybody. He didn't necessarily care what your viewpoint was, even if he disagreed with it. He was always willing to give people on any side an opportunity to debate him on the merits of the issue. And he did not silence you if he disagreed with you. And that is the American way. But of course, the left does not want open debate because, as the great Rush Limbaugh once used to say, because they don't want to, to necessarily clear the playing field. They want, or to have an equal playing field. They want to clear it because they know in an equal and honest and open debate that their side would lose on the merits of the issues all the time. And that is why they resort to silencing the opposition, being us when they can, or in this case, destroying them. And lest we forget, for however many years ago, in the very early days of the first Trump administration, the horrendous human being, and I, if you can call her that, Maxine Waters, urged anyone and everyone, if you see Donald Trump or anybody in his administration, wherever they are, in a supermarket, in a restaurant, anywhere, get in their face. That's what she said, quote unquote. So you can take that to mean anything you want.
Well,
and
no,
certainly
no. She knew exactly what she was saying. You're being
exactly.
kind to her. She knew exactly what she was saying, because get in their face means shoot them.
Bingo.
It means blow them up.
Exactly.
It means torch their offices. That is the code of the left.
I
Sorry.
mean, dear Lord, look what happened to Steve Scalise and the GOP baseball team at the hands of this almost mass assassin, James Hodgkinson, who is tied somehow very directly with Senator Dick Turbin of Illinois, to this day has not been held accountable for what he knows and when he knew it about that attack. Same thing with Bernie Sanders, because Hodgkinson was a Bernie bro, and nobody is calling to them for their account for their words and actions. And the same thing for Waters. And look what almost happened to Brett Kavanaugh and his family. And the list goes on and on. Of course, every time a Catholic school gets shot up with children and school shootings, yeah, let's blame the guns. Let's blame whatever it is. Let's blame the climate of hatred against transsexuals for their own demise, for the demise of innocent people. And yes, this cannot go on.
Unfortunately, it is going to go on.
It is,
And
yeah.
I think it's going to go on for quite some time in the United States, because we have, I think that the right has awakened, and they finally see what the left is capable of and what has believed since, boy, I mean, let's say it, the French Revolution. That was
right.
The left. That was the lunatic left, and they haven't changed. But I want to get back to something you said about Charlie Kirk.
Sure.
And he was an evangelist. He wanted people to find Christ or find Jesus. Again, folks,
Yes.
I'm woefully ignorant of the you know, of the ins and outs of Christianity. I know that he was a Protestant. I don't think he was Catholic. But he was such a happy and gentle evangelist that I found it pleasing to listen to him speak about it. That, of course, listen, I'm Jewish. I'm happily Jewish. I'm never going to convert. I am, you know, there's 0% chance that his words would move me emotionally. But I was so pleased by the way he spoke about Christ and about how important religion is to him and to his culture. I found that very, very pleasing and very impressive. You know, we forget that he was only 31, I believe. And he,
yep.
First of all, he was incredibly accomplished for a man that young. Second of all, he was incredibly articulate and had tremendous command of the facts and the philosophy behind what he believed. And that in and of itself is a huge loss. But
yes.
he also had the ability to connect with people in ways that are very, very rare. I think Ronald Reagan was good at that. I think in his own strange way, Donald Trump is very good at that.
Indeed.
I can't think of many other politicians. And when I say politician, I don't want to insult Charlie Kirk. Please don't think I am. But he certainly had the opportunity. He would have had the opportunity, rather, to enter the political sphere in the United States. And I think he would have done quite well.
No doubt. And the other thing about Charlie Kirk, and you're touching on it very directly, CBD, is that he, along with what he believed in, which is why he got shot, and his ability to communicate and his proven ability to reach the youth of this country and other, and indeed around the world, to at least let them hear his message and be very persuasive in his message, to see the foolishness and the insanity of the left. That posed an existential threat like nothing else, perhaps maybe since Donald Trump, in a way, in his way of persuading people. But certainly Charlie Kirk reached the youth of this country, and that could not, by the left, that could not be allowed to happen. He was on the verge of really cementing perhaps the MAGA movement in a certain way, or, you know, a return to God, as many in the younger generations have been doing before this and still are. And even in the wake of his assassination, supposedly there were 32,000 applications to TPUSA to become to open new chapters of the organization, both here and around the world. And that is why he was killed. He was an existential threat to the left.
He was an evangelist for the conservative movement.
Absolutely.
But traditional conservatism, which I think is,
absolutely.
Which I think you can, separate his brand of conservatism from the, you know, the dope smoking idiots who want open borders and free marijuana.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the Reason magazine folks. Anyway, boy, our next topic was supposed to be, Jimmy Kimmel. And I hesitate to follow a discussion about Charlie Kirk, who was a truly impressive man and continues to be impressive even in death, with a discussion of a hack, of a you know a dancing monkey who stumbled into a fat payday and became a tool of the left. Oh, am I not being nice to Jimmy Kimmel?
Too bad.
Yeah,
well, we
tough
better
shit.
be careful. We, then we'll, whatever.
Yeah.
Somebody will come after us if they knew
Anyway,
where we were.
Charlie Kirk was, as I said, a very, very impressive man. And what really, really frustrates me about it is that the vitriol that has been poured upon him, even in death, by the left, is based on absolute ignorance of Charlie Kirk's beliefs and his words. Every charge that they make about Charlie Kirk, oh, he was a racist. No, he wasn't a racist. And there are hundreds of hours of video that can prove that he simply was not a racist. Oh, he's sexist. Bullshit. What he believed was that women are the most important people in our culture, and their most important job, in fact, the most important job in our culture, is procreation and the raising of children. And he felt that in the bounds of marriage was the best way to do that. And he had tremendous respect for women, and you know, far from being a sexist, he was, if anything, he was, was he apologetic for the failures of women in America? Yes, I think he was. I think maybe he could have been harsher. He's also a homophobe, right? Yeah.
Right.
You know, his distinction between hating the sin and loving the sinner is not a complicated thing. And yet the left carefully ignores that because they want to lie. They want to call him a homophobe when in fact he was not a homophobe. So anyway, close out the Charlie Kirk segment. I'll ramble forever.
Right. He is and was an existent. Let me say his movement, as we see, is going to live on in the things that he's doing. TPUSA is going to thrive. People have been revolted. His wonderful widow, Erica, has been elected now, I believe, or been officially named to succeed him as the head of TPUSA. And if you have heard her speak, she, you know, through her tears and her grief, she is probably as equally passionate about all of those things that Charlie stood for. And she, I'm sure, will do yeoman's work in carrying on his legacy. And let's hope for that. And, you know, it was said that Charlie perhaps had the potential to become, you know, politically speaking, he could have been a president of the United States, all things considered. And hopefully the direction the nation is going, hopefully away from this madness that, and all the violence, which all of it comes from the left. Anyone who tries to claim this whole both sidesism is guilty of it is detestable in the extreme. History shows us that political violence is the lone purview of the left and its organization, meaning the Democrat Party and all of its associated, affiliates and so on and so forth. There is no such thing. There is no entity and no person on the right of any political influence, of any real political influence, that advocates this, what the left is guilty of and has been guilty of, well, since the French Revolution, and certainly since Aaron Burr murdered Alexander Hamilton 120 odd years ago here in the United States.
200.
It is the left.
Yep.
Period. End of story.
Yeah. Anyway, so one of the, you know, the bit of the fallout fell on Jimmy Kimmel because he shot his mouth off and lied about the murder of Charlie Kirk and the murderer of Charlie Kirk. I will not mention his name. I prefer to call him Small Penis Coward or something like that because that's what he was. So anyway, if not all of you know who Jimmy Kimmel is, he's a clown who has a late night television show on ABC. And he, as I said earlier, has been a tool of the left. He simply regurgitates the latest talking points of the progressive left, and in some cases the hard left. I think that boy, he lied about the motivations of Charlie Kirk's murderer and was pulled off the air by ABC. Probably, no, almost certainly because of pressure from their local affiliates, who have to deal with the crashing ratings and the blowback from somebody who obviously lied on national television. So the repercussions of that in Hollywood are fascinating. Everybody's rising to his defense, claiming some sort of horribly confused charge of censorship, which is simply not the case. ABC, which is owned by Disney, is a private corporation or a corporation. It is not government. Government is the only entity that can censor. ABC took away Jimmy Kimmel's soapbox, his well-paid soapbox. But Jimmy Kimmel can say whatever the fuck he wants at any time. He can start his own network, and he can be the star of their late night show. Fine with me. I don't care. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with government. But anyway,
I thought one of
that's
the
what
best
happened.
yes, it's total bullshit. And I thought one of the best react. First of all, ABC has a fiduciary a responsibility to its shareholders to not put a manifestly irresponsible person on the air to rant and rave and both drive down the value of the shareholders, stock and potentially destroy the company, go woke, go broke, and B, his words could incite future terrorism, as indeed, look at what happened to the office of, I believe it was Kelly Ayotte. There was a bomb threat against her, and she's a
Right.
Republican senator of New Hampshire. And so, and words do indeed have these kind of things do indeed have consequences. And so, they did absolutely the right thing in taking him off the air. And one of the best responses I thought to this whole censorship charge was from Roseanne Barr when she said, "It's funny, nobody was complaining about M Michelle and Barack Obama when he demanded that Bob Iger take her off the air." And of course, Bob Iger threw Roseanne Barr off the air because she was a fairly hyper-partisan, if not, not maliciously so, critic of the Obamas. So there you go. Turnabout is fair play in that regard, but that was great. And here's Obama was complaining. We forget that however many years ago, he had a rodeo clown sacked because supposedly he was wearing an Obama mask and mocking Obama at a rodeo.
Yeah.
And so
What a
God, these
thin-skinned
people,
prick he is. Isn't it amazing?
exactly, they all are. They're horrible.
Yeah.
When the mirror is turned on them and the hypocrisy is thrust back in their face, they literally just they melt, or they just double and triple down on it.
Yeah. So the blowback from the left is also quite interesting. First of all, they're claiming censorship, which is, as I explained, is total bullshit, and as you pointed out, it's total bullshit. But the second thing is that they're frustrated by the FCC that threatened to take action on the over the network or on the network because of Jimmy Kimmel's lies. Now, the FCC is not going to take away ABC's license. That's not going to happen. The FCC can fine them. They can take them to court. They can do all sorts of stuff. And if ABC really believed in Kimmel's words, they could fight. But instead, they caved. They caved to the pressure, and they, what I think, did, as you say, did the right thing and took them off the air. This is not censorship. ABC can fight this battle. They chose not to. That is, as you know, it's a corporation. They're looking out for their shareholders. That's fine with me. Roseanne Barr, I think it was shitty what they did, but it's their prerogative. They can do it if they want. It's not my government doing it. So Now,
Right.
this throwing around censorship very, very lightly is I think a very, very big problem in this country. It ain't censorship.
Meanwhile, you have an outlet, which I MSNBC, which I label MSNSDAP, who to this day gives a platform, a daily platform, to this Al Sharpton, who has literal blood on his hands,
Yes.
who is one of the most vile racialists, racists, bigots this country has ever seen since probably, what is it? What was his name from out of Detroit? Father Coughlin. I
Father
mean, he's
Coughlin,
literally Father Coughlin in blackface. It's the same thing. He's
yeah.
horrible. He's caused pogroms and riots, the death of people, the Tawana Brawley hoax, all of these things. He's destroyed and ruined lives. And he has his own soapbox on MSNSDAP. And then in the mornings, this Joe Scarborough and his concubine, blonde-headed bimbo wife, Mitzi Baryshnikov, put him on the air to talk about all these issues as if he's somehow this great arbiter of, he's the second coming of you name it. I mean, the insult on top of the injury is just unbelievable. And yet no one is screaming for MSNBC to be shut down or for him to be, I don't know, they should. He should be pulled off the air. He is a manifestly irresponsible character who has blood on his hands. So, but, and yet there he is, given a daily soapbox.
Yep.
But let the free market do what it can do, because there was an article the other day that combined MSNBC and CNN's ratings are literally lower than a college radio station in the Aleutians. I mean, they're totally in the toilet. So let them die and wither on the vine.
You
Good.
know, that's a very good point. Their ratings in late night are terrible. I mean, I'd love to compare it to Johnny Carson at his height, who, by the way, was a very funny man. They, you know, the these guys make a huge amount of money, 10, 20, $30 million a year. We saw that with Colbert. And the cost of those shows is immense. And I simply do not see the return for these companies. My guess is their accountant said, hey, do whatever you can, get rid of these people because we're not making any money. And it was clear with Colbert that they were losing huge sums of money. My guess is that with Kimmel, they're losing maybe not as much, but certainly a lot. And the next up, who is it? Who are the
I
two
don't know.
knuckleheads left?
Let's see. It's Kimmel, Colbert.
Let's
I
see,
don't. I
Jimmy
mean, I don't
Fallon,
watch these shows.
Jimmy
I'm sorry.
Fallon,
Oh, Fallon. Yeah, I don't.
and Seth Meyers,
Right.
whose shows I have never seen in my life, so it doesn't really matter. Is
No.
Jon Stewart still on? Did he come back?
Leibowitz, I have no idea. Is he back somewhere? He might be. The only other person is Gutfeld, and Gutfeld's show does actually
Yeah, they
fairly
do
well.
okay. Yeah.
Maybe not bad. I mean, he's not, I mean,
Yeah.
whatever you think of him, but I mean, he's not a crazy. I mean, I don't know, he's right wing, whatever, but he's not a loon.
Well,
His show is
he's
doing
on the
well.
right, I would say.
He is on the
He's
right,
sort of
yeah.
a gentle right winger, but
Yeah, but yeah,
not like us.
he's a normal human being, so he does have an audience.
Yeah. I want to read James Woods' tweet about Jimmy Kimmel. We've all made jokes at Jimmy Kimmel's expense, but Mr. Kimmel is a fellow artist, and I am, in fact, heartbroken to see the way he has been treated. I believe he is, in his heart of hearts, a good and decent fellow, devoid of malice and hate. Just kidding, Jimbo. Eat shit. Folks, that's why you need Twitter, just to read James Woods. He's great.
That was, oh, I thought that was your commentary on his
No,
tweet.
no,
He
no.
was being
That
just
was James
totally
Woods.
sarcastic.
I read it in its entirety. He's fantastic.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's great.
Anyway, I happen to agree. Jimmy Kimmel, eat shit. You hate
And
me, you want me dead. Well, okay, I'll return the favor.
absolutely. That
And
doesn't, and I want, I mean, look, and that doesn't mean I might wish you, as we say in Yiddish, Vergehar, get to drop dead. That's not going to mean I'm going to take a 9mm, seek you out, and put one through your throat. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to fight you as hard and as long as I can on the bully pulpits that CBD and I have, or wherever I can. And if heaven forbid, some lunatic with a box cutter or a gun or whatever wants to come at me, then all is fair, and I will do what I can to save my life and the life of anybody near me, and put you down. And goodbye, good riddance. And as they say, better to be judged by 12, or even with this perverted justice system, than to be carried by
carried by
six.
six. Yeah. So this is a good segue into our last topic, which is that as Sefton has said, more than a few essays this week are seeing a hot civil war on the horizon. I don't know. I see hints that the right, which has been unbelievably pacific over the last two or three generations, is getting a little frustrated with that pacifism. But the step to a hot civil war in the United States is a huge one. And I don't know that it is going to happen. I think that people are were reasonably furious about what happened to Charlie Kirk. But I think that the cultural pushback against what happened is significant. And if that continues, then I think a hot civil war will be put away for the time being. Let's see what happens over the next year. Let's see if violent leftist rhetoric is shot down everywhere it pokes its foul head up.
Rhetorically speaking, of course, figuratively shot down.
Yes. It's
yes,
the problem
I,
is that that rhetoric takes its phraseology from war, because it's only a few steps between rhetoric and war. That sounded deep, didn't it? I don't know if
very
I'm
deep.
right, but it sounded deep.
Wherever the fortune cookie factory that printed that one, boy, they get an A plus. But you're right. No, you are absolutely right. And look, it's only going to take when people see their kids get gunned down in Catholic school praying. It's funny. The same p and believe me, when the Columbine thing happened or Newtown, Connecticut. Everyone, all they did was we got to go after the guns. We got to go after the guns. But of course, when a lunatic like this, when left wingers shoot up Catholic kids, no, yes, it's still the guns, but it's always the motives behind the thing that never get analyzed. And that's what it is. And somebody wrote, which I've been saying all along, a gun, show me an instance where the gun picked itself up, loaded itself, cocked itself. Walked down a hall and shot up people all on its own free accord and then put itself down. It ain't happening, folks. It ain't the guns. So, and as far as,
I've been a gun enthusiast since I was about 6 years old. I've been shooting for most of my life, and I've never seen it. Now, again, my sample is small, but guns rarely go off on their own, and they rarely are aimed at one's political opponents on their own. So, Sefton is, of course, joking, and of course, perfectly correct about this. It isn't the guns; it's the left.
yep, absolutely. And one thing, just keep guns out of the hands of leftists. But of course, we have the Socialist Rifle Association of America to worry about. But be that as it may, yeah, the I don't know that there's going to necessarily be a hot civil war for some of the reasons I hinted at, in that we have a corrupt judicial system. People know that if they do anything, I mean, unless it is absolute, self-defense. Of being gunned at first, there is not going to be anyone that goes after and do tit for tat violence against the leftist target of your choice, because they know the system is rigged against them. And number two, they just know morally it's wrong to do that. Anyone would know that. I mean, there is no way in hell that I'm ever going to be grab a weapon, a Molotov cocktail, a bomb, or whatever. Or run to Chuck Schumer's office and hurl it through his window. I'm not going to do that. It's never going to happen. All things considered, unless I'm in a situation like the Jews of the Warsaw Ghetto, where I'm about to be put on a train and sent to Auschwitz to be gassed, that is a whole other story. But nobody, I mean, we are not necessarily in a state of civil war, but we are definitely two countries coexisting sort of in the same territory. And one of us has to be defeated. And I will do my damnedest legally by every rhetorical means and whatever net political means necessary to see that we come out on top. Please, dear Lord, let it happen.
One of the issues, I think, with the violent left is that their presence is amplified by a compliant media. I don't know how big Antifa is. I don't know how big Black Lives Matter is. I don't think they are as big as they seem, according to the media. That being said, they are extremely dangerous. And I think that Donald Trump announcing that he's going to consider them a terrorist organization, or at least Antifa, is absolutely warranted. But I don't know how big they are. And even if they are reasonably well-trained and are reasonably well-organized, the mass of right, let's call them right-wingers in the United States who are well-armed, far better armed than the left, and reasonably well-organized, I think that will overwhelm them. The problem, of course, is who decides when that is to occur. And I hope it doesn't occur. And both Sefton and I hope that this never happens. And we hope that the hard left is simply drowned out by our reasonably wise culture, and their violent rhetoric is discarded. I don't know what's going to happen. I simply don't. But let's not pretend that the usually pacific right is going to be pacific in the future.
Well, exactly. It's just we don't know what that black swan event that can happen that will actually make whatever a hot civil war, God forbid, whatever that would look like, what it would look like. But for now, it's the Charlie Kirks of this world, and please let there be many, many more like him out there, will succeed in winning hearts and minds. And may the good Lord open a lot of hearts that normally wouldn't be open to see the error of their ways, and to stop doing what they're doing. You're free to believe what you want to believe about what you want to believe. And the other thing is, may we please, dear Lord, take over the damn school systems and stop creating these monsters who are picking up weapons and doing this, because a lot of the rhetoric is coming, as you have stated eloquently in some of your essays, and I've written about it. It's coming from the schools, and it always has. And that's where it all begins, and ultimately how it foments manifests itself. Because without that, you don't have people who hate America, hate Judaism, Christianity, hate the West, hate civilization, and ultimately hate themselves. You'd have to want to hate yourself to castrate yourself to become a woman, to convince yourself that you're a woman in a man's body, or vice versa, or whatever. All of this is madness in the service of evil that wants to overthrow and destroy the greatest nation and society that ever existed in the world, the United States of America.
Well, there's not much I can say about that. You're 100% correct. We sometimes forget that the United States is a glorious place. There is so much to recommend America as a beacon of hope in the United States, in the world. And we sometimes lose sight of that, and it's sad. I don't know. I'll give you an example. I live in a very, very Christian town. About 25,000 people. It's in Bergen County, so you know, you can probably figure it out from there. But there is a Chabad, which for folks who don't know, is a Orthodox Jewish organization that's been around forever, and they don't evangelize. What they do is they try to bring non-observant Jews back into Judaism, and they do it very gently, although insistently sometimes. And they're loads of fun, and they are wonderful people for the most part, and they know a lot about the Bible and about Judaism. And anyway, to make my point, they opened up a chapter in my little town. And I'm going to go listen to the shofar on Tuesday, and it's going to be great. And in the United States, that is not special. That happens all the time. We are such a tolerant country. We tolerate so much. We sometimes put up with so much because we know that our institutions are based on what is probably the greatest series of documents in the history of the world. The founders wrote about how they wanted to construct our political system. They explained their reasoning with the Declaration of Independence, and then they wrote this wonderful document called the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And it works very, very well. We just have to be educated about it. We just have to take it seriously, and we just have to understand that it is based on what is, I would say, the most important single point, and that is the individuality of all of us, the uniqueness of all of us. It is so prof the Constitution is so profoundly respectful of our individuality, unlike socialism, unlike communism. They want us to be widgets. How am I getting here? I don't know. It doesn't matter. They want us to be widgets, and I don't want to be a widget. And that is what that is the genius of our founders, and that is the genius of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yep. Amen. And it's the other side that wants to destroy it. I mean, it all depends on everybody observing and playing by the same set of rules without trying to change the rules during the middle of the game, which is what the left always does when they don't get their way. As I have often said, they use our, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution as both a shield and a cudgel to beat us up, to protect themselves with, but to beat us up with. And it's one, it's gonna, it's you're either with us or you're with the terrorists, my friends. And only one side is going to win this country. And please, Lord, let it be the side that is what Charlie Kirk of blessed memory preached about. May 1 million, 10 million more Charlie Kirks be inspired to pick up his mantle and carry forward. And if his wife, his widow, of God bless her, if she is any indicator, I think I'm feeling. I have trepidations about maybe certain things in the future, but the only reason we're seeing this wave of violence is because the left knows that it cannot win on the normal battleground of political rhetoric. They cannot win the argument by just rhetorical means. They cannot persuade you of their issues that they are on the right side of the issue just by
And they
mere
never,
words.
and they've never been able to do that.
And they've never been able to do it. So
I
they
mean,
have,
look at
this is what
the
they do.
mantra of socialism. You know, one man, one vote, one time.
Bingo. Exactly. And it's they who count the votes, of course.
Anyway, folks, I'm going to cut this short because otherwise I'll ramble forever. This has been the Cut Jib Newsletter podcast with CBD and JJ Sefton. Thank you very much for listening and hitting our tip jar and commenting and reading our stuff over at Kutchup Newsletter and at Ace of Spades. Sefton, take it away.
Yes, sir. For CBD, it's JJ Sefton. Again, ditto, my friend. God bless all of you for your love and support. And I really mean that. And coming up this week, it's going to be, just on a personal note, my 9th anniversary doing the morning report at Ace of Spades, and almost nearly that Cut Jib News has been in existence with CBD. And so it's been a hell of a ride, and let's keep it going for as long as we can. And God bless you all for the love and support. We will see you next week once again on the Cut Jib News Radio Podcasting Network around the world, across the nation, and up your street. God bless you, and see you next week.
Thanks for listening, folks.